Good morning. It is wonderful to be here today. From what I understand, it was wonderful to be here yesterday. Heard we had a wonderful ladies' day. I am so very thankful to God for the wonderful ladies that we have here at Cary. They do work so hard and do so many things, and I'm so thankful for them and the fine Christian examples that they show and the service that they give to the Lord's church. And may we always remember to thank our ladies, not just the day after Ladies' Day, but every day that for all the things that they do for us. There are today, if you go over to the registration area for Rise Up, there will be updated schedules along with which we'll have all the speakers that will be speaking at the Rise Up retreat, and as well as Sunday that Sunday afternoon. So please pick up one of those. Also has the cheaper prices, actually, so everybody should like that. The cheaper prices on it than what was on the last paper. So check that out as you go out for the Rise Up retreat, which is coming up at the end of March. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. That is not the text or the title that I gave to Julie, so ignore the bulletin. Listen to me. Preachers sometimes get to studying one verse and one set of verses and then find, hey, these verses are a lot better. I'm going to use these instead. And that's kind of what happened here. But we're going to look at how to increase Christian love this morning according to the Apostle Paul. Verses 9 through 11 of Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Paul states here in verse 9 that he was praying that the Philippians' love would abound more and more. And I think, while that was a prayer specifically to the Philippians, I think Paul longed for that with all Christians and longed for that for us as well today. While it was Paul's prayer, he continues on to tell the Philippians, not only am I praying this for you, but let me tell you how you can accomplish it. This is how you can make your love abound. This is how you can make your love grow. I'm going to go on and tell you these things. First, he says that their love would grow through increasing their knowledge. Now understand, this knowledge here that Paul is talking about is not knowing a certain set of facts. While that may be helpful, it is not what he is referencing to. It is knowledge that is gained through experience, through living it. You know, young preachers go to preaching school, and I've worked in the congregation with a preaching school. I've had a lot to do with young men coming out of preaching schools. And, you know, and whether it's a preaching school or our universities, the schools, they give them facts. Knowledge of a particular type. Knowledge of facts of the Bible. Things that they're going to need in their ministry. Those are things they need and must have. And in no way are we discounting those things as useful or necessary. But that's what they give them. But one thing that they cannot give them is experience. Because experience gives it another type of knowledge entirely, doesn't it? I mean, this isn't just about preaching. This would also be in regard to any job. You go to school, but ultimately what you learn in school, you add to that when you begin to experience the job itself, how you apply the knowledge that you have. And so these preachers, they leave and they get experience, and it gives them another type of knowledge. It is a deeper knowledge of not only knowing the Scriptures, but also having an understanding of what those Scriptures can do in a person's life. And how to take those Scriptures and give them to someone that they might be able to apply them to their lives, to plant that seed in the heart of an individual. You know, this knowledge that Paul calls for us to increase in is experiential knowledge. And for the Christian, they only achieve this by living holy for the cause of Christ. Many people do not see the power of God because they have never given themselves wholly to Him. They've never given themselves wholly to His life, the life that He would have them to live. And as a result, they go, I don't really see it because they've never lived it. They've never experienced it. And there is a great power in experiential knowledge. And so they want to experience God, but they do not want to give of themselves to do so. This word is very similar to the Hebrew word yada. And yada appears over 1,000 times in the Old Testament. And it is that word that is translated know. And it is observation or meditation or contemplation of something. It's more than just facts. It is to sit and to observe, to see something, to think about it, to contemplate on it. And it allows you to know something better than just facts. Psalm 46 and 10 says, cease striving and know that I am God. Your Bible may say, be still and know that I'm God. And what he's doing, that know there is that type of knowledge. Take time to see me, to contemplate on me, to live for me, that you may truly know me as God. Knowing God through experience and contemplation is at the heart of having fellowship with Him. It is how we are in close union with Him and get closer and closer to Him every day. Would you say, those of you that are married, that the experience of marriage has given you a great knowledge about marriage that you didn't have when you said, I do? Husbands, just go. Make sure she can see it, okay? Been married, going on 22 years this year. And I tell you, I knew nothing about marriage when I stood with my beautiful bride and said, I do. I knew I loved her. I wanted to spend my life with her. But I was absolutely clueless when it came to marriage. And she's over here going. But 22 years of experience has taught me a lot about marriage. It has caused our relationship to go beyond that love, you know, that passion and honeymoon love, as we talk about sometimes, that newlywed, and to go into something deeper and greater, a relationship that is close and that is closer than any other relationship I have on this earth save God. That's from experience, us being together and experiencing marriage together. That we've gained that. You have that in friendships too, right? That friend you've had for so long, your experience together with that friend causes you and that friend to be closer than anybody else that you might be friends with. But it's experience that makes the difference. And see, when I live for God, I live with God, I experience a life with God. And that makes me closer and closer and closer to Him, just like my life with Jeannie. There is a reason why there are so many texts that compares our life with Christ to our marriage, right? Because there are so many similarities like that. And that's what Paul is looking for here. Seeing your love will increase with this kind of experience, not experiential knowledge. So you'll get to know better how to love by getting closer to God. Every day I learn more about why life with God is the best because I experience it firsthand. I see countless people that do not have such a relationship. And I observe the misery of their lives. I observe hopelessness. I observe vanity. And I see that the life that I have, that I know by experience, is so much better. And that it is the very best life. And I see how God has blessed me with that best life possible. And I will only have this realization, I will only fully come to understand this if I experience it by living it. Living it with all my effort. Look at your life. Think about it. What has God done for you? I know you can quote John 3:16, everyone can. Even that dude in the stadium, right? No, you can. I'm not asking what God did for the world. I'm asking, what has He done for you? You can say, I say something more than just the big one, the big salvation one. What has He done for you? Because God does so much more than just that too. May we not forget and fail to see those things, while that is the greatest one of all. May we not miss the other things God does. What does your relationship with God do in your daily life? Does your relationship with God impact your daily life? I mean, every moment of your day. When you're at work, how does God impact you at work? How does He impact you at school? How does He impact you wherever you may be on a daily basis? How is your relationship with God impacting you? What difference does it make in your life? It's more than, you know, when we think about this relationship with God, it's more than just living right. It's how does it change you? How does it change the way you think? How does it change then what you do as a result of changing what you think? See, if the end goal is just to live right, then we forget God. We live for God, living right comes naturally. God is the point of relationship. And He needs to be the one that we're experiencing that relationship with. This is the experiential knowledge of Christianity, of God. Such knowledge takes our spiritual lives to the highest spiritual levels that they can be, because we see God and we know God and we are ever growing closer to Him on a daily basis. We are ever getting closer to Him in relationship and fellowship. And that translates into incredible love, just as those of you that have been married to that lovely lady next to you for all these years, it has grown into an incredible love. It does the same for you and God. Second, Paul says, our love will grow when we've increased in discernment. You know, Paul defines this discernment in verse 10 when he says, so that you may approve or discern the things that are excellent. You know, this discernment is about being able to properly determine what is important. And it really comes down to, you know, really what we're talking about here to some degree is priorities. It's going to come into play. But it is to discern what is truly important in this life. Too many people fail in their lives of faith because they fail to discern the things that are truly important. You know, so oftentimes we focus on little things that do not matter. And we swallow the proverbial camel that Jesus said about the Pharisees. We miss the big ones. You know, people fail to discern what is truly important. They think human relationships are more important than obeying God. See, they're not seeing what's really important, are they? Human relationships will only last as long as this world stands. There is no marriage or given in marriage in heaven. Jesus made that very clear. So human relations, and that's really the pinnacle of human relations, is the marriage relationship. Human relations ultimately are not as important as God. Some people hold them there. I will not give up a relationship to do what God says. Maybe marriage, maybe friends, maybe whatever. Some think that human wisdom somehow negates aspects of the Christian life found in the Bible. We think today that we are so enlightened and so knowledgeable and we've seen so many things that somehow the Bible is antiquated or it doesn't quite know what it's talking about, or psychology has proven that God's way is the wrong way and we need to understand that God's way is the right way. And when we're looking, we need to choose God's knowledge over human knowledge. That's discerning what's most important. Some think that it is more important to make people feel happy than to ensure that they understand what the truth of God is. I have no time to give to making people happy on the road to hell. It's not my job. It's all I want to do is turn them around and get them on the road to God. Some people don't want that. Some people won't like that. And we just need to accept that. Jesus dealt with that. Apostle Paul, anybody that's ever served God and tried to bring people to Christ has dealt with that. But our purpose and our goal is not to make people happy. It is to bring people to God. That's it. Where peace and true joy can be found. And so we need to understand what is most important there. There are many examples of this that we could continue to list. Such people want the things of the world and the things of God, but fail to discern that which is truly important. They cannot have both, yet they fail to discern that absolute truth. The absolute truth that you can't have both. God won't accept both. You can't have the world and God. You have to make a choice. And I promise you, if you're trying to split between the two, you've made the choice. And it's not God. Love not the things of this world, John tells us. Why? Because they're passing away. Why? Because they're not righteous. They're not godly. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, the writer of Hebrews says, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." You know, it is practice of what is right that is the experiential knowledge that we're talking about in the previous point that gives us what we need to discern good and evil. As I live it, I understand it better. I understand better what is right and what is wrong. I understand better how to see the difference between the two. As I live for God, I'm better able to see those things. Just as an athlete is better able to perform, better able to do different aspects of their particular sport, as they get better in other areas, they get more areas opened up to them. And we too, as we live in the Christian life. You know, I piddle with computers, and I have a little bit of experience with them, but I do not compare myself to those here that work for computer companies or are programmers, because you do it every day. You got experience on a daily basis, and I don't have a clue compared to you, but the difference between us is experience, and what you've done and what I've done doesn't compare. And so experience is going to help us better see things for what they are. You know, we must have this discerning mind so that we do not adopt the morals and ethics and philosophical standards that this world proposes. That is why Paul finishes verse 10 by stating that having this discernment will enable us to remain sincere and blameless. How long? Until the day of Christ. You want to be sincere in your Christianity, if you want to be blameless in your life, you need to understand what's most important. And there's only one thing that's most important, and that's God. God in all things. You know, this discernment will show us that the love of God and the love of the brethren are the most important things in our lives. And discerning that will drive us to grow in our love, as Paul seeks for us to do in this text. Last of all this morning, Paul tells us that we increase our love by being filled with the fruit of righteousness. Having a close relationship with God and proper discernment will naturally lead us to have a life that is filled with righteous deeds. Righteousness being that which is defined by the psalmist as all the commandments of God. See, I can't seek righteousness and deny God's word. Deny God's power that is in His Word. John defines the love of God and the love of our brethren. I hear so many brethren go, we got to love the brethren. And you know what? You're right. Let's get that right, because sometimes that's really being used in some weird ways. I love the brethren and I love God. Those two can't be separated. John makes that clear in 1 John chapter 4 and 1 John chapter 5. He makes it clear, I cannot separate love for my brethren and love for God. And yet love for God is defined by John as keeping the commandments of God. So love for brethren will never trump. It will never somehow lessen God's will, God's word, and what people must do. Because we tell someone that they are not doing as they should does not mean I don't love them. In fact, I think that's the greatest act of love anybody ever does. And please, if you know I'm living wrong, love me enough to come tell me. Because if you don't, you don't love me. Because you're just fine with me to go to hell. There is no way you're ever going to get to heaven with that attitude. Love is discipline. Apparent disciplines. God, Hebrews chapter 12, disciplines. Why? Because He loves. But today in our society, any kind of condemnation of action or any kind of calling a person out for what they're doing wrong is viewed as not loving me. That's letting culture taint what Scripture says we are to be. May it never be. Love and righteousness are inseparable. This being filled, carries idea, or when he says here being filled with righteous fruit, it carries the idea of a full harvest of the fruit of righteousness. And this requires all of one's life to bear a full harvest. I've given it all. It's all out there for you, God. And as a result, I'm going to bear fruit. It's going to be a huge harvest for you. It's not going to be one or two plants here and there in this big, you know, this 40-acre field that's my life. It's not going to be this little corner here, God. I'm going to bear fruit for you on every row, on every spot. I'm going to be coming up out of the dirt in every place. That's because I'm just a steward of this, and you are the master. And I want to give back more than you gave. You know, our fruit is our actions in life. And Jesus said that our fruit determines whether we are a good tree or a bad tree in Matthew chapter 7. Righteousness must be lived in action in order to be fruit that is born and harvested in one's life. And that harvest must include love. And you know, the growing love that Paul calls for in his prayer is exactly what will come out of a righteous life. This love, however, that Paul wants us to have, we need to remember this morning, cannot grow without knowledge. It cannot grow without discernment. Let me tell you, if you want to find out what love is, and you're looking to the world, you're not going to get a very good definition. For the best definition has been manifested on the pages of this book. That the love of God is manifested in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He has given it to us that I might know what true love is. You know, it cannot grow without discernment. It will not grow without righteous living from the God that is love. Begin today to have the experience of a life wholly given to God. And through that, knowledge and that discernment, come to know through experience the best life that this world has to offer. Take that knowledge and use it to understand what is truly important, and that is God. And that is a life bearing righteous fruit for Him. Think about Solomon. Lived his whole life. Did some really good things, right? Built the temple. And you read there in 1 Kings 8, you read about him building the temple. You read about the words that he said is great. He says, you know, oh God, the heavens cannot hold you. How much less can this little building I just built hold you, right? He understood God. Then he went away. He went away from God. He went away from righteousness. But as he comes down to the end of his life in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and he's literally at the end of his life, and he's saying, you know, I've just wasted my life with nothing. Folks, he was the most powerful man of the world. He was the richest man in the world. He built incredible things. And he looks back at his life as he nears death and says, it's nothing. It's a waste of my time. I wasted my life. And so many people waste their lives. This world. And when they reach their deathbed, it isn't going to matter. And it didn't matter to Solomon. He said, hear the conclusion of the matter. This is all that matters. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is all I'm here for. That's a guy speaking from experience. Bad experience. But experience that opened his eyes to the life he should have lived. God forbid that any of us lament on our deathbed the life we should have lived. May we celebrate the life we did live. A life of love, righteousness, a life that understood what was truly important, to fear God and to keep His commandments. Do that today. Do that today. If you haven't been, begin today so that you will grow in godly love, because you will. And Paul finishes that text that we read just a moment ago. If you do these things, you will bring glory and praise to your God. And that's why we want, that's what we want to do. This morning, if you want to begin that journey with God, you want to begin that bringing praise and glory to God through experiencing the life that He has for you, discerning that which is truly important. Right now, if you're not a child of God and you haven't obeyed the gospel, the most important thing in your life, you need to discern this, is for you to come to Christ. To believe in Him, to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus and be buried in baptism. To rise, to walk that life, to experience that great life that He has for you. To bear much fruit of righteousness in your life. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you haven't been living as you should. Maybe you've forgotten that really God is what's most important. You haven't discerned that properly. Maybe you haven't seen God because you haven't experienced God, because you're not living the life for Him. Begin today. If we can assist you, if we can pray for you, if we can encourage you, we want to do so. If you have a spiritual need this morning, won't you let us help as we stand and as we sing.